1010 WOLB and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you feeling,
Mr. Fuller?
I'm still learning.
Oh, so are we. Love to have you again, because we need some lessons this morning. One of the issues I wanted to ask you about, because you keep saying that we need a code. Is this something that all non-white people need? Can you explain when you say that we need a code? Is it a code of conduct, a code that we should adhere to? Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. Anything that gets done in an efficient manner, you might say, to use that cliche term, is codified. It has a code. Like a locksmith has a certain way of going about doing things when it comes to managing how a lock is made and what the purpose of a lock is. So you have to do some things that will always work. When you put your key in the door, that same key has a code. The key has a code that fits the lock that's in the door. Otherwise, it won't work. So all creatures, everything in the universe, will either work or it won't. That's the only criteria. And that's all a code is. That every time you do it, it works. You strike a match. If the match is made the way that matches are supposed to be made, and it's been proven that the match will work, it will strike. Every time you do it, that's what you get. You won't get something else happening. You get fire.
We've got to take a short break there, Mr. Fuller. And when we come back, put it in a practical form for us. Because when you say the code, how can we use the code? And how beneficial is it to us as a people? How can we use it? If you break it down for us. And family, you got to listen very, very keenly to what Mr. Fuller does and how he makes his projections, because he uses logic, cause and effect, to prove his points. You want to join this conversation with us? Reach out to us at 800-450-7876, 14 after top. I'll be back in 4 minutes, though, with Neely Fuller Jr. right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB, and also in the DMV. We're on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power. And good morning once again, family. Our guest is Neely Fuller Jr. You know his saying about racism, white supremacy. If you don't understand how racism, white supremacy works and all that entails and everything else that you think you understand only serves to confuse you. We're going to get into that as well. He'll explain why he says that. Right now he's telling us about a code. He says we need to have a code. So, Mr. Fuller, explain it again for our audience real slowly about why we need to have a code. And do other groups have codes?
Well, everything, every creature, squirrels have a code, which means what? It just simply means there are certain things that you do that always work. So that's what black people need more than anything in every area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. You want a code that every time you do anything according to that code in any one or more of these areas of activity, it always works. It doesn't work against you. It always works for you. All creatures need that. All creatures are really seeking that, even though they don't have a name for it. We just have, in a loose expression, the best way to go about doing things, the best way to travel from one place to another. Do you catch a plane or do you go by boat? And once you find out the best way, stick with it as long as it does what? Produces the result that it should produce. That's the only criteria. Not what somebody's opinion is and all like that. You know, people do it all the time, but we're not doing it consistently. We stumble up on something that works, but then we do it the second time, we're all over the place. Now, that's not having a code. Code means you do that same thing every time the same way. Why? Only one criteria. It worked. It worked. Talking to the person in this certain way, asking questions in a certain way, it works. Once you try it, trial and error, you will find out that it works naturally. You have to find out what works and what doesn't. There's a series of television programs going on now called The Foods That Made America. For example, I'm giving this as an example. And if anybody has seen those programs, the people that made the Hershey bar or things like that, for example, they would have a meeting and they would sit down and they say, now, this thing we got out here now is not working because we need just two or three more ingredients or different ingredients. I think that will work. So they go back and forth. They try this and try that. And bingo, they say, hey, we'll add a little olive oil. I'm just giving this as an example. Oh, well, what kind of oil do we use if we have any kind of oil at all in the last recipe that we put out here? They said, no. But we can try the olive oil. Olive oil, do you think that'll work? Well, we can try it. We won't know until we try it. So they might put a little olive oil in there. Then it comes down to the amount. Because they found out the sales picked up when they used a little bit. Then maybe we use a little bit more. That'll work even better than our competition out there. So they would do that. If you've seen the program, you know how that goes. And it's the same thing with everything. But black people have never even attempted to have a code. See, and once you get it, you lock it in. Just like the barcode when you go in the grocery store. The reason that line moves faster than it used to move when people had to add up everything, I mean, and add up the change, that's the way it was when I was very young, which is a long time ago. You know, you were standing in that line forever because the cashier had to do a whole lot of figuring. But when you have a machine that does the figuring for you, they just do what they call a swipe because there's a barcode on that swiping. And so they swipe the object that's being sold across some type of light that has that code in it and put the bags in the groceries. You're out of here. And that's an example that is right in our face every day when we're doing shopping. The barcode. Somebody came up with that idea. We need a code to get this line moving. How can we make the line move faster and more efficiently? And at the end of the day, the clerk doesn't go through and the money doesn't match up. And I mean, what, did you sell this or did you sell that? Or was that perishable? Or somebody bring something back That's all been codified, you might say. You say, oh, yeah, we had some return items. I can tell you exactly what it was. The reason they can do that is because they had a code that does it. That's it. So black people need a code for everything that we do. We have one, but it's sloppy. And it's sloppy.
Well, let me jump in and ask you this then, Mr. Fuller. Do white people have a code? Do they have a code when they deal with us?
They're the most efficient people on the planet Earth. That's because they use codes for every move that they make, particularly if they are white supremacists. That's why they're the most efficient people on the planet. Codes make efficiency. Efficiency in what you say. Efficiency in what you do. And how you say it and do it. Black people just, well, I'm going in here and say, I'm going to talk to somebody. Well, are you prepared to talk according to a code? Well, I'm going to tell them how I feel. Feelings change every 2 minutes. They're not reliable ways to do codified business. Feelings serve a purpose. Feelings give you the inspiration to have a code, but all feelings should be codified so that every time you say something to somebody, it works for you, not against you. That way you know the person is codified. It always works for you. When you open your mouth and start talking, you know it's going to work before you even open your mouth. That's an example of what I'm talking about. But it has to be produced in front. You say, I know when I go in here and tell them this about this recipe that I...
Ask this question, though, Mr. Fuller. Does it work if a certain number of people have a code? Like, not all black people are on code, but some are. Does that mean the code is a failure?
It means you don't have one of the ones that you're using is a failure if it doesn't do what you want it to do. This is why people always, every day you say, well, that didn't work, I'm going by to try something else. A football coach is using it all the time. We know a lot about football. Black people, you know, we ask black people do they like football. In the Northwestern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, it'll probably be soccer. But the coaches and everything have a code. What do you think they're looking at over there on the sideline? They say, well, that play is not working. Not with this individual I got out there. Baseball people, they have a code. And they're looking at it. You see them, I see them. You know, I see them, you know, after a certain play. They don't look up at the sky and start wondering this and one. They look down at something that they have written down. And they look at, you know, when you look over their shoulder, they see people, something that symbolizes people. That's a code. Who are running this way and running that way. So what you call your top coaches are people who have a top code because they say, I know how to use each one of my players according to the code that I'm going to outline for this particular player because the one that I had before can't play this position very well. I'm going to change this particular person's code of behavior on this ball field and say, well, I'm not going to fire him. I see where he can play another position 3 times better than the guy that I already got. You know, it's not personal. It's business. So it works just that way. Black people need just that type of code. Every time we do it, it works. This is your best pass receiver ever in the history of football. And you've got him out there playing line. That's the code. Person is not codified for that. Use your best people for the position that will work best for that position. We do it, but we're sloppy at it when it comes to what you call life's problems. Black people are the stars in the world, and the white supremacists are the most efficient. That's why people flock to them across borders. Which way did the white people go? That's what they're saying. They are codified better than anybody else. That's the only difference. How do they do that? How do they? They look for a codified way, and once they find out that that works best, they lock on to it better than anybody else and improve it. So it becomes razor sharp codified. They know it's going to work even when they're asleep. That's why they can, in their sleep, they can have black people doing all the things that they want black people to be doing. Because we don't have a code at all. We just say, well, I'm going here and do something. That's us. In everything. Something.
I tell you what, hold that thought right there, Mr. Fuller. We got to take a short break here. When we come back, Brother Muhammad in D.C. has a question for you. I also got a tweet. A tweet that says, every group has a code. No matter what, they stick together. Trump can rob and steal, and those people protect him, the Jews, the Hispanics, the Arabs, all stick together. But black people, we have been greatly compromised. We don't have the strength and courage our ancestors had. Very, very sad. That's a tweet coming in from Gail. Family, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we speak with Mr. Fuller, and Brother Muhammad has a question or a comment for him. You, too, can join this conversation. Reach out to us at 800-450-7876. Your phone calls in 4 minutes right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB. If you're in the DMV, we're on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power. And good morning, family. 21 minutes away from the top of the hour with our guest, Neely Fuller Jr. Call up a couple of your friends and tell them Neely Fuller Jr. is on the radio. You understand how the system of racism, white supremacy works. He breaks it down. Right now we're discussing the code. And by the way, that's a short name for his book. He'll tell you how to get the book before he leaves because it's got a long name. I just call it The Code. And if you say you want Neely Fuller's book, they'll point you in the direction to get that book. But he'll share with us how you can get a copy of the book. It's a great book, a great read. Also, tomorrow is Friday, so it's another chance for you to join us on our Open Forum Friday edition. Free your mind, think for yourself, and reach out to us. You can check in starting at 6 a.m. Eastern Time right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also on the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. Mr. Fuller, as I mentioned, Brother Muhammad in Washington, D.C. has a question or a comment for you. He's on line one. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Alaikum salam, sir. Alaikum salam, Mr. Fuller. You use some generalizations that, you know, are inaccurate when you say the black man doesn't have a code, or we have a sloppy code, or we've never had a code. I take umbrage with those statements. When I called in last week and spoke to Dr. Fox, I was saying how King Charles I wrote down on a piece of paper and gave a charter for Lord Baltimore to start Maryland. And I was saying that I ended that my argument with, it took the citizens of England and the people who respected the authority of King Charles I in order to make the decree, the charter, real. And obviously it's real because Maryland is still Maryland to this day. And so what our fault is, we haven't recognized the leader that comes from God. The King of England is actually the leader of the Church of England. So his authority comes from God. And I was saying that the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad claimed to have met with God, and no one has been able to disprove that. So what I'm saying is we have to not all become Muslim, not all become FOI and MDT, but we have to recognize our authority and get our code of conduct from the nation, because the nation has never been defeated and is the most successful black organization that we have, and it has a military. So I've used the code of the nation for 30 years. I've never been defeated by drug dealers, the court system, the police officers, or any white supremacist or any Jewish supremacist, because I use the code. So we do have a code. We're just ignoring the code. We're being ignorant. You know, we want to do our own thing, or we want to be top dog or top whatever, but there is a code. So I take umbrage with you saying black people don't have a code.
All right, let's give him a chance to respond. Thanks, Brother Muhammad. Mr. Fuller?
That's exactly the way that the code is supposed to work. Now, you're talking about doing things that work. That's what you're saying, sir. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything that contradicts that. In fact, it's in the book itself, the book that I've written, that you do what works and stick with it. And when it gets to the place it doesn't work, you codify that so that it does work. I mean, you just change the code like you change the locks on a door. You say this is not working. It used to work, but it's not working now. It's, you know, these locks are not made to stand up in this environment. There's too much sand in the air, and the sand gets into the locks. Well, we're going to make a lock that can work around the sand, keep the sand out. So you make a new lock, and here we, and now we're back on, in business again. And that's what I'm hearing, I think, from Mr. Muhammad, that we have a code, we're just not using it. We have it available. Well, there are a lot of people who say, well, if you become a Christian, you got your code. I've heard that all down through the years, you know. And then another person will say, if you become a black Hebrew, you have a code. So these things have been considered, and sometimes they lead to bloodshed, okay? But I'm not saying anything one way or another. I'm saying I'm on the same page with this caller. Because I started off with this program saying, code just means something that always works for the better or for whatever objective you have. You set your objective first, then you come up with a code for everything that you say, everything that you think, and everything that you do that will fit, that will always lead to where you need to be. That's what a code is, according to your own standard, or the standard that you set, or that you're accepting somebody else set, like your creator, in the case of the person that called. You set that standard, and a lot of people say they have that standard, but then you have to have a standard for not killing each other about it. So you got to reach for that. Now, that hasn't been achieved by anybody. I mean, people wind up saying, I got a code, and you ought to adopt the code that I have. And then the other person says, wait a minute, from the back of the room. I got a code. That's the real code. You got a code that's pretty good, but I got the perfect one. And then they go back and forth. Now, they got a codified. They need to codify it. Well, we're not going to fight about it, right? Let's codify that. We're not going to fight about it. We're going to discuss it and work it out. We're going to go back and forth that way. And a lot of people do have that code. And history has shown that it works better, except for the white supremacists, because they believe in, hey, white supremacy is an evil code, but it works because we are extremely efficient. We are more codified than anybody of any black person with any religion. And they come under us if you're black, because we have a racist code, and it's the most powerful code ever presented to the people of this planet called Earth. And the white supremacists can brag about that because the evidence shows it so far. Now, other people, if they're black, of various religions, political voices, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we say, well, we're working on it. Well, the white supremacist said, I'm not working on mine. Mine's already proven. You know, I'm not begging you or asking you for nothing. You are begging me and asking me if you're black, regardless of what your religion is. You wind up, at the end of the day, coming under my authority. And so far,
and let me just share this with you, Mr. Fuller.
Which is a religion. Racism is a religion, the strongest in the world. According to what? Neely Fuller? No, according to the evidence. That's why we have a black program right now. And it's black people calling in and talking to other black people. And we agree or disagree with each other. But we're all under white supremacy. Truth be told. They feed us. Truth be told.
Here's a tweet for you, Mr. Fuller. Tweeter says that you just proved I'm just reading. It just says, he just proved what Mr. Fuller is saying. The nation has a code, but all black people do not have a code for all of us. Everybody don't recognize the nation or the church. The only common thread we have is that we are black. And the person goes on and says, Mr. Muhammad proved your point. That this is what this tweet was. But anyway, Mr. Fuller, we got some more people who want to talk to you. 11 away from the top here. AP is calling from Wheaton on line one. AP, good morning. You're on with Neely Fuller Jr.
Good morning, Mr. Carl Nelson and Mr. Fuller. I follow you quite a lot on producejustice.com with Mr. Bobby, quite a lot. So I'll try to make this question as brief as I can, but I'd like to have a follow-up and an interreaction with you, stay on the line, so to speak, about it. In the system of racism, white supremacy, Mr. Fuller, what do you say about how the system is able to also pit all other racial groups against black people? Okay, and I'll speak to that once you answer the question, if that question is direct and to the point for you.
Yes, they are experts at that. I mean, they're all kind of cliches as far as divide and conquer. Oh, boy. I mean, they come in the morning, and everybody's cheerful and interacting with each other and all like that. I don't care if you're on an island or wherever, but that white code is so powerful. They come there with a code. That's all they came there with. And before that afternoon, all of those people who've been getting along forever are killing each other because the white supremacists, with that strong code that they bring with them, I mean, ask the so-called Indians about that. The Indians had disagreements. They fought among themselves and all like that, and people of all tribes and whatnot. But when the white supremacists show up, how is it, by some type of magic, in no time? I mean, people have their customs. They say, they brag about it, going back thousands of years. In one afternoon, the white supremacists come in and change all of that. Now, is that magic? No, that's a code. They have a solid coal, the most efficient that the world has ever seen. That's not saying that other people don't have coals, but it's sloppy. It's not razor sharp, where every word that they say has an effect that they want it to have. Every word. We have nothing like that.
Yes, I'm still here.
Your follow-up question?
And the evidence shows it. It's not what Neely Full says. Who's Neely Full? He ain't no authority on nothing. And I'm not. But, like Dick Gregory said, somebody said it on the radio the other day, one of the worst things among black people is that they can't seem to see the obvious, or something like that.
Absolutely true.
Hold that thought right there, because we got to take a quick break. I'll let you pose your question when we get back. It's 6 minutes away from the top of the hour, family. You want to join this conversation with Neely Fuller Jr., reach out to us at 800-450-7876 and call up a couple of your friends and tell them Neely Fuller Jr. is on the radio. They'll thank you, sure. We'll be back in 4 minutes right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB. If you're in the DMV, we're on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power. And thank you for rolling with us this morning, family. A minute after the top of the hour with our guest, Neely Fuller Jr. You'd like to speak to Mr. Fuller, reach out to us at 800-450-7876. Before we left, AP and Wheaton had a follow-up question for Mr. Fuller. AP, good morning. Your question again for Mr. Fuller.
Yes, Mr. Fuller, as a follow-up, your book breaks down 9 areas of people activity, correct?
Yes, sir.
And the first area that you speak about, or the early one, the area of economics. We keep seeing, it's obvious, like in the area of economics, that for me, I don't see, like, for example, Spanish-owned business, food markets, hiring black people. I don't see Asians in their store businesses and food markets hiring black people. And even so now, it's just more difficult to see people enthusiastic business owners hiring black people or poor whites, for that matter. So, like, for example, most Burger Kings, 7-Elevens, McDonald's in the DMV area, most, if not all, the employees there are Spanish. Now, everybody, you know, I would just like to speak to you about that problem, that fundamental problem that I see that's showing up in the area of economics and black people being able to get hired, and why that's a problem. And so this is to speak to the example of all these other groups, all these other racial groups, you know, pitting themselves and making it harder for black people. You know, everybody loves black swag and all the ideas that they steal from us, but most people don't want the burden of hate and scorn that comes along with being a black person. Please speak to that.
All right. Thanks, AP. Thanks for your questions. Mr. Fuller?
The system of white supremacy. That's what it produces. That's all the white supremacists. They orchestrate that. They don't leave nothing loose. Nothing. Nothing that moves on this planet called Earth. That's why they call it supreme. Now, the white supremacists do believe in a creator. They'll tell you that. That's why they put crosses on their chests or put them on top of mountains. That's the cross. And you say, what is that cross for? Say, that's to show you that we believe in a higher power. We believe in a higher power. The white supremacists tell you that. And they're telling the truth. They're telling the truth about that because there is a higher power. But then they, right under that, part of their code, they say, but the next in line of the higher power is us. dominating and mistreating people of color of every kind, so-called Hispanics and all like that. They flocked to us. They crossed borders trying to find us. Then they opened their hamburger stand because they say this is the best thing that ever happened to me. All of you non-white people that I label as non-white, you didn't know nothing about being, you know, you say, yeah, you had different colors, but what does that mean? You got different color flowers and whatnot. Well, the white supremacists said, oh, we're going to show you what it means. That if you've got white skin, that's altogether a different ball game from having skin that ain't white. And they thought up an idea called white supremacy. It's just an idea, but they codified it. And boy, it took off like a brush fire. No one was prepared for it. No one. We had tribes, most of them squabbling among each other and squabbling among themselves. And the white supremacists said, we're just going to have one supreme tribe. It's called being white. It's called white supremacy. And we will glorify a higher power. But everybody's got to come through us to get to it. To even talk to God, you have to get our permission. That's what they've been saying. And they say that to your face. That's a part of their code. Oh, you ain't talking to God. I mean, you didn't come through me. You didn't get permission. There's a hierarchy here. You know, when I give you permission to talk to God, then you can talk. But you got to come through me, or God ain't going to hear you. They say that. Oh, yeah, you got your little black churches and all like that. That don't mean nothing until you come to the white church first. Yeah, then you get authorized. They call it just that. You come, you know, and get certified. Go to my clergy school and learn from me how to talk to God. And then I will bless you with, you pass the test, now you can go out and preach to the rest of them heathen Negroes. I think I answered the question.
I think maybe. You did. Six after the
maybe,
top there,
maybe,
Mr.
Maybe
Fuller.
I didn't. So you got to watch
you did.
Me, too. Well, I ain't nobody.
No, I think you nailed it. But we got some more folks want to talk to you. Let's go out to Houston. Brother Mark is there on line two. Brother Mark, good morning. You're on with Neely Fuller, Jr.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? You doing all right this morning?
No, I'm not. I'm still learning. And as long as you're still learning, it means all problems are not solved.
Okay. You know what? I'm agreeing with you 1,000% about the code. And I'm going to ask you this about a code when it's called racism, white supremacist. We were slaves, you know, until we were freed. So what they did was, is what they did, it became racist. So we were pointed out with the skin color because we were free. You see where I'm going. And so they would discriminate against us because of our skin color. That was a code. When we try to unite together and come together, you know, like, for instance, when they had this thing with the NFL and the brutality against shooting unarmed black men, we came together. We say we're going to hit them economic. We did it. But then what was the code to say, what can we do? So the supremacists brought in a man by the name of Jay-Z and say, well, let's stop this. Let's come together. You following what I'm saying? So to get a certain person to come in to try to unite us, or, you know, but at the end of the day, we understand what was going on because the code was there. But they do not want us to never come together as one. You know, when Kaepernick did what he did, he risked his whole job. He did everything. The people that go to the Nation of Islam, these people, just because they go to the Nation of Islam, they still go to work, and they work up under the supremacist, the white. When it says racism, white supremacists, when we became slaves, they changed it to race, to be our color. And that's why we see people around the world. I'm asking, like, people in Haiti that try to come over here. You see how they treat the people who look like us. But when another race of color come in, they'll bust them and help them. Do you think that's something to do with it? That's what I was just trying to get out.
All right. Thanks, Mark. All right.
That's what white supremacy means. They help who they want to help, and they don't help who they don't want to help. And they keep conflict going. See, that's the whole key. Hey, we don't care how we work it. That's how what the white supremacists have found out. As long as we got them squabbling among themselves, hey, we got them. I don't care what they call themselves. I mean, if they wind up gunning down each other, I mean, hey, we go to sleep and wake up and they're still doing it. We got them on an automatic. We know how these Negroes think. You know, they jockeying for positions and jockeying to be heard. We train them that way, but they think that they're doing that on their own. No, we train them to be that way. They're gonna fight, but they're going to fight each other. I don't care how they pretty it up and make it look on the surface. We're going to have them, at the end of the day, fighting each other because we got them codified that way. They're going to murder each other in the name of whatever. In the name of Jesus, as it comes down to it, we'll have them murdering each other in church. If we want to, why? Because we have a supreme mind. That's why we have a counter-race. We have a racist code. They don't have a counter-racist code. They don't know how to deal with us. They think they do. They preach it. They talk it. They have all kind of little groups here and there. We go to sleep on all of that. We got this thing so down pat. I mean, it's perfect. It is perfect. And when some things slip out of gear, like I just gave the example of the locks, with every now and then, locks break and all like that. They examine it, and they know how to fix it. And they have a new key for it. They do that. They know when to make a change. Right now, they're in the refinement stage. But some of them, they're squabbling among themselves. White people slaughter each other. That's why they're so good at it. The best in the world when it comes to murder. The bookstores are full of what? Not books on how to grow things. It's how to murder somebody. See the obvious, like Dick Gregory said. Walk into a bookstore, and what do you see? Mystery section. What kind of mysteries? Murder mysteries. Don't you love it? Can't get enough of it? The glossiest bestsellers in this bookstore. The obvious. You're looking right at it. It's about murder. Here's a section over here on the Civil War. There's never been a war that was civil. There's no such thing as a civilized war. Get the language straight first. And we walk around talking about slavery ended. Racism is slavery. It ain't nowhere near ended. So what we call slavery was just a part of the system of white supremacy. That is how you say it if you're going to be a real counter-racist. You'll say, you never mention nothing about slavery ending. What we call slavery, racism is slavery. See the obvious. I have a quote in my book. In racial matters, many look, but few see. See what? See what they're looking at. There's another old cliche saying, can't see the forest for the trees. Person standing there looking at the forest all day long, say, you know, I can't see the forest. The trees are in the way. That's how we have been taught. And then somebody walks up beside you and says, sir, the trees and the forest are one and the same. When you're looking at the trees, you're looking at the forest. When you're looking at the forest, you're looking at the trees.
Yeah. Hold that thought right there, Mr. Fuller. We've got to take a quick break here, 14 after the top of the hour. Family, you want to join this conversation with Neely Fuller Jr., hit us up at 800-450-7876. We'll take your phone calls in 4 minutes right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power. And good morning once again, family. 21 minutes after the top of the hour, our guest is Dr. Francis Gresham's mentor, Neely Fuller Jr., explaining his tome on racism and white supremacy. You know, a lot of folks say they understand it, but they really don't, because you hear them attacking each other. And once you hear that, you know they don't understand how the system of racism and white supremacy works. Is that what it does? Gets you to attack your brother and sister and keep your eye off the oppressor. But anyway, this is what Mr. Fuller's been teaching us and Dr. Welsin. And you've got to listen really, really keen when Mr. Fuller speaks, because he uses logic. Those of you who've taken logic in college, you understand it, how it works, cause and effect. And once you get it down, it's so simple. But anyway, we got a bunch of folks want to speak to Mr. Fuller. Let's go to line four. Smitty's calling us from Baltimore. Good morning, Smitty.
Yes, good morning, Carl, and good morning to Mr. Fuller. I want to thank Mr. Fuller for being able to make people understand, if they will only listen and understand the logic of what he's talking about. Why do we harm someone that won't harm us? And to show you that the value of what he's saying is that the Hispanics put a restaurant in the form of a truck so that they can serve their own people to keep the money from even flowing through your community. It flows back to them. And so my question to Mr. Fuller is, when are our people going to wake up and see why would you harm somebody that won't harm you?
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
When we understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works. If you don't understand that, you're not going to understand anything, because that's how the world works, according to the way the white supremacists have it set up. In all of the areas of activity, it doesn't cover some. Economics. What is economics? Let's look at the words. That's the first thing you look at. What is economics? The use of time and energy. When you're born with two things. And when you leave here, you leave here. By the logic, the code of two things. Time and energy. A baby comes into the world with what? Time and energy. See, we have to see, you know, understand and pay attention to the obvious. Now, when you look at this world like a baby does, you might have noticed something about babies. How many times has anybody on the planet seen a baby being born or heard of one that came here laughing? The babies come here doing what? Crying. There's a reason for that. Now, codification is about learning reasons for everything, because there's a reason for everything. There's a logic to everything. Neely Fuller ain't nobody. I mean, you don't have to listen to me. But we can talk and try to find the one thing that applies to everybody, and that is logic. Logic. Cause and effect. These are laws of the universe. We should have noticed by now, babies come here crying. Do we ever ask, why do all babies come here crying and never laughing? It's because the babies, logically speaking, can sense that everything is all messed up. The baby comes into the world saying, good gosh, what's going on here? That's what that baby is saying, making all kinds of noise. My goodness, y'all let me off at the wrong station. I don't know if I can handle all this stuff that's going on. You people, all of you people, just crazy as you can be. All this murder, they can sense it. The baby can't think yet. But the baby can pick up vibes about how the world is being run. And so that's the baby's putting us on notice. Oh, this is a mess. Y'all are all messed up and don't even know it. But I'm an innocent baby. I can detect it. It's in the air. The minute I started breathing, I cried. You polluted the air. I got to put up with this. I just got here, and this is what you're doing to me. You're doing it. It ain't supposed. I was supposed to come here laughing all over the place, joyous. Now I'm going to be. I got to straighten out a whole lot of mess, and I don't know if I can do it. That's what every baby is saying. And the baby
tells. Hold that thought right there, Mr. Fuller, because we got a bunch of more folks who want to get at you. 27 after the top of the hour. Let's go to line one. Kareem's calling from Baltimore. Kareem, you have a question for Mr. Fuller?
Yeah, peace. How you doing? I guess that last example you gave is supreme understanding, and that I think is what we all are looking for, because just like is it that in terms of the baby, you're coming out of a peaceful existence into this world of trauma, and eventually, if you live right, you'll be able to go through and smile and laugh and be jovial. But you have to be able to follow a code of understanding. Is that what you're saying in terms of, because I can deal with white people individually, but the collective mass of them is a tricky thing to maneuver. And in that regard, is that what you mean when you're explaining the code, a code of understanding, a code of operation for life, and how to be in existence in a world that has dysfunction interwoven within its existence?
Yes, what you just said. You started off saying a sentence. You said you can deal with them, but you notice that other black people don't know what to do. That's what you're saying, which means you have a code. If you, the way that you interact with white people every day, and when you get through interacting with them, you are satisfied with the results that you are getting. You just said that. Mm-hmm. Now, that's because of a code that you have that you're not even aware that you have it. There are certain things that you do and certain things that you say a certain way that at the end of the day, you walk away from the situation of interacting with white people in a system of white supremacy. It means, and you are satisfied with that day that you had and with the way that you interacted with white people, it means you have a code. One of the first people that looked at my book was a person that I work with. And he said, he brought my book back in a couple of days. He said, Paul, you know what you got there? And I said, what? Because I was waiting on his report to see what he think. He was thinking about my book. And he said, you ain't got nothing there that I need. He said, it might help somebody else. I don't see nothing in that book that I can use that I need. And I said, that's exactly the way the book is supposed to work. And so if you're already doing it, what does that mean, logically speaking? Pass on whatever it is that you are doing, that you can interact with white people in such a way that when you come away from your interacting with white people directly, you have prospered. You have gotten what you wanted. Otherwise, you'd be coming away griping and pulling your hair out and all this kind of stuff, cussing, stomping. We do a lot of that because we don't know how to interact with nothing. And that's what makes us frustrated. And frustration brings about all kinds of misery, chaos, and then hurting somebody. Because when you're not getting what you want to hurt somebody. And black people are hurting people all the time, mainly ourselves. We want to hurt so bad because we are hurting so bad. When you are really hurting, like when you got some type of rampart disease or something, you kick the dog. I mean, you wind up kicking people that are supposed to be close to you. Like this is Women's History Month and whatnot. And who dogs black people, black females around more than black males? We need to codify that. Because that's in the book. You don't ever do violence against a black female. The first time, the last time. That's the slogan. That's in the book that I've written. I mean, that's got to stop. She's not the cause of your problem. None of them. Even though it might look like that on the surface. The white supremacist is the cause of whatever problem that you have with the black female. When you examine it, every last one of the problems, why? Because you're both under the system of white supremacy. So don't get mad at her, even though she's got all kinds of reasons to be angry. Because we did not protect the black female. We're walking around talking about we king of this and king of that, and I'm the tribal leader, and we're still doing that foolishness. We ain't the leaders of nothing. We are fellow prisoners, male and female. So we need to act like it. Fellow prisoners, if they got any sense, don't turn on each other when they are prisoners of war, simply because they are mad about their situation.
Mr. Fuller, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you for sharing that with us, folks. I hope the fellas understand. Yeah, I hope the fellas understand what you just said, and I hope they really get what you just said. That was key for this morning. As I mentioned, we're going to take a quick break here at 26 minutes away from the top there. Our last break, by the way. We're back in 4 minutes with your questions for Neely Fuller Jr. If you want to join us, reach out to us at 800-450-7876. We'll be back here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power. And good morning once again, family. 22 minutes away from the top of the hour with our guest, Neely Fuller Jr. Before we go back to Mr. Fuller, I just want to remind you that you can join us tomorrow for another edition of Open Phone Friday. Free your mind and think for yourself and reach out to us. We start promptly at 6 a.m. Eastern Time right here in Baltimore on 1010 WOLB. If you're in the DMV, we're rolling on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. Mr. Fuller, Panther calling from Washington, D.C. has a question for you. And family, make a question short so Mr. Fuller can respond. He's on line two. Good morning, Panther.
To you and your distinguished guests, peace be with you both. My thing is, I think white folks code been since we've been under their rule of white supremacy is we're going to rule over you. We white, y'all, y'all black, y'all wrong. Y'all believe everything we say, we're going to make you hate yourself. I think our code should be we sick and tired of being sick and tired of white supremacy. And if we ready to bring y'all down by any means necessary, if you don't get your hands off of us, because we don't want to go through this no more, or our children to go through this. And I think that's what our code should be. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Panther. Mr. Fuller?
Well, there wasn't a question there, but what we need is just, that's the only thing we need. Just a code of thought, speech, and action. There's a code for everything that is successful. And what is a code? Well, cause and effect. And the key word, term that I use, is just two words, constructive results. Every day that you get up, start thinking like this. Every move you make, like when you sit down and look at a plate of food, ask yourself, what am I looking at? See, because there's a law of the universe. All problems are solved through what? Questions and answers. All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. Black people were taught systematically not to ask questions. Ask questions about what? About everything. Everything. Why? Because of the laws of the universe is that where there's a question, there's an answer to every question that's ever been asked. There is the answer to every question that has ever been asked, and the pathway to solving problems.
All right. Hold that thought again, Mr. Fuller. Got some more folks got questions for you. Line one, Rick is calling from Atlanta. Rick, your question for Neely Fuller Jr.
Mr. Fuller, I'm glad you said that lead in about questions. I have a question for you. What are the strategic weaknesses in white supremacy that we can exploit to our benefit? What are the weaknesses to white supremacy, racism, that we can exploit to our benefit? Thank you.
We find that out through the process of what? Just like I just said. Don't let that run past you. Questions and answers. All you have to do is just start asking questions about everything. Now, you'll get answers.
Thanks, Rick. And please hang up because we're getting a feedback on this line there. All right, go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
I'm getting a lot of static.
Yeah. Kevin, hang up on line one. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
Yes. Through the process of questions and answers, that's the first thing. Black people got a lot of questions, but we don't ask them. You know, every time when you sit down to talk to someone, have 1,000 questions about just one word. See, the white supremacists understand that. For one thing, when you go to court, what's one of the first things you notice if you've never been there? Everything slows down. See, black people are used to moving. We got a lot of movement. We're not going nowhere. All right. We body wise, we got every move down that you can name. I mean, running, jumping, skipping, spinning around in our heads. But when it comes to thinking, we think that that's something that's absolutely poison. I ain't got time to do no thinking. Are you crazy? I want to move. Let's get it on. We got every type of expression for that. Movement. Do you have any idea where you're going and what you're going to do when you get there? No, I just go there and hope that something happens. What's happening, man? Well, ain't nothing happening with me. Ain't nothing shaking. What's happening with you? I don't know, man. What's happening with you? I don't know, man. What's happening with you? Now, the white supremacists look at that and say, I got a tailor-made slave. Because they don't have any idea of what they're doing or why they're doing it. And really don't care, as long as they're doing. I got to go, man. I got to go. You got to go where? In a hurry. I got some people to meet, and I got some things to do. Things like what? Is it going to produce a constructive result? That's what the code says. Every move that you make should produce a constructive result, whether you're having a conversation or whether you're a bricklaying. So you're laying bricks. Why are you laying bricks? Well, I'm laying bricks because I learned how to lay bricks. Well, what are you making that's going to produce a constructive result? Oh, I don't know, man. I'm just laying the bricks, and I don't know what it is when I get there. Now, that's what you call tailor-made slave thinking. Know what you're doing and why you're doing it before you even think about doing it. Next time those guys show up in that car, four of them, all of them got guns, and they say, hey, man, we're going to take care of some business in which we want you to be with us. Back away from that car. That's the logic. And say, I will see you all later. What's left of you, you can tell me all about it. Because I got something else to do. I ain't getting in that car. End of story. Oh, man. Yeah, oh, man. No. I ain't getting in that car. Now, I have to know everything. I want a thing called insurance that ain't nothing going to turn out that doesn't benefit me in particular. I ain't going to be a part of nothing where there's some not a constructive result. This doesn't look like it's going to produce a constructive result. And I'm using the logic of the universe, I ain't getting in that car. Now, I'll talk to y'all later. I ain't mad at you, but I'll talk to you later. And walk away. Now, a whole lot of us don't have sense enough to do that. We don't think about it. That's what we say in court. Well, I wasn't thinking about it at the time. Yeah. That's what we rely on. You black people don't want to do any thinking. You want to get a move on. Well, you got your move. It was the last move that you ever going to make outside of some bars that I got all set up for you because I knew it was going to happen when you dropped out of the ninth grade. I know where you're going. I got a trap for you. All of you, you think you got some plans. I've already planned where all you black males are going to be if I want you there. Now, if I want you somewhere else, you'll be there. Why? Because I am a thinker, not just a doer. I think, I speak, then I act. And I got a code for all of it, thinking, speaking, and acting.
Life is full of things to manage: your work, your family, your plans, and your treatment. Consider Kesimpta, ofatumumab 20 milligram injection. You can take it yourself from the comfort of home. If you're ready for something different, ask your healthcare provider about Kesimpta and check out the details at kesimpta.com. Brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
I know how
I'll
to
let
play.
That right there. Let's see if we get one more call for you, Mr. Fuller. Mike is in Chicago. Mike, can you put in a question for him so Mr. Fuller can respond? Mike's on line five, by the way, Kevin. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to ask Mr. Fuller to explain what he meant by saying that black people should stay away from other black people. I got some brothers in Memphis and Dallas and Phoenix that's listening right now, and he can explain it better than I can.
I have a brother. I speak to him when I have something constructive to say. See, I don't do what you call our conversation, and I have never had an argument or fallen out with my brother, not even temporary. Why? Because that's the best thing to do under these conditions. Thinking about the conditions we're all in. Black people, when we make contact with each other, there's a whole lot of what somebody made this word up and they got it correct. Drama. But if you have a plan for your conversations with other black people, this is a very important part of the code. Your plan should always be, when I come away from this conversation, it's going to have a constructive effect on everybody. Why? Because I'm going to plan the conversation before I even pick up this cell phone that I am on all day, all the time. Black people are talking to each other all the time, but how many of those conversations produce constructive results? I started to mention those two words early in the program, and I got away from it. Neely Fuller has a serious flaw. He has a tendency to ramble when he's talking. And whenever you see him do that, he's not exempt from the laws of the universe. I'm asking everybody in the audience that's listening to me now. Neely Fuller is just another person. And I have serious flaws. Keep that in mind. We all have. It ain't nobody that doesn't have serious flaws. Not on this planet, under these conditions. So you take that into account. And when Neely Fuller is making a mistake, yank his chain. Because he ain't supposed to be making none, ever. And he's telling you that. Yank Neely Fuller's chain. And getting back to the core of what we're saying, that's the way we should all be, and we should welcome somebody saying, hey, you did all right on those first 4 points, but I think you kind of messed up on that third one, that third set of things that you said. Now, you did all right up until, and I think that you made a big mistake there. So let's go over it. See, that's all we have to do. Oh, I made a mistake? Well, let's correct the mistake. It's not correcting Neely Fuller. It's correcting the mistake. Because somebody else will make the mistake. And then somebody else. And then somebody else. And then we become mistake prone. Because now the mistake is spreading all over the place. We don't want no mistake of any kind ever to spread. And how do you know
when Fuller, we're running out of time, and I want to give you a chance to tell folks how can they get the book, because a lot of folks got questions for you, and I'm seeing we're going to have you on more often so people understand how the system of racism, white supremacy works, why we keep attacking each other. But how can we get copies of your book?
You can get copies by going to producejustice.com. And that gives you an idea of what I'm trying to do just by that. ProduceJustice.com. And the method for getting the book will tell you. The information is right there.
And the title?
It's got the title. I've got three titles. The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. But the simple title is in the smallest print. on the ones that I have now. A textbook workbook for thought, speech, and action for victims of white supremacy. A textbook workbook. But you'll see it all there. You can order them. Yeah, I've tried to bring the price down on them. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I'm going to tell the truth, because you got to have truth. Neely Fuller has got to always tell you the truth, okay? And that is, if you're going to get copies, have it in mind. It's a poorly written, because I rushed them out, the 2016 edition and the 2010 Word Guide. I rushed these books out because I didn't think I had this much time. I wasn't promised any time. I think, you know, anything could happen any moment during the time that I was doing this writing. But I said, like, so these books turned out to be, in my opinion, the worst written of the best counter-racist books that are out there. But it's right. It's the worst written. The way that
still
I worded it.
A lot of great information, like Mr. Fuller. It's still got to, and so we're on, thank you, because we're flat out of time. Thank you for sharing that information, and thank you for doing the books as well, so people can read the book, and next time you come on, you got questions, explain a question for him so Mr. Fuller can respond, because he says that's the way, that's how you can get information. You got to ask questions. So, Mr. Fuller, again, thank you for sharing all this information with us this morning. Family, we're done for the day. Stay strong, stay positive. 1010 WOLB, and also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL, where information is power.